Good morning again. And so, welcome, Petaluma United Methodist Church. Today is Sunday, August 8th. I want to just make two announcements. The first announcement, I'm excited to share with you that we are doing a baptism this afternoon at Rona Park, at St. John's Rona Park. It's this afternoon at 4 o'clock. It will be outside on the patio behind the church. You are welcome to attend. When we baptize a child, we are baptizing that child into a community. This child is actually from Michigan, but his godparents live here. So we're gonna have it here and Zoom in his church, his home church in Michigan, and I think the more people who attend, the better, right? Because we wanna celebrate that community. The community is more than just the immediate group. It's the church in Michigan, the church in Rona Park, this church in Petaluma, the church as a whole, the church of God, right? Not even just Methodists. Not even just Methodists. So I invite you, it's 4 o'clock, 4 o'clock this afternoon at St. John's. There'll be cake. That's an incentive for me, huh? Okay. And the second announcement is we have a worship committee meeting today at 2. That's right, Charlotte, right?
Correct.
2 o'clock today. Via Zoom, so a reminder. And with that, I offer you the peace of Christ be with you. Thank you. Let's join together in our responsive call to worship.
Please join me. We are hungering and thirsting for hope and peace. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Our hearts long for the nourishing presence of God. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Give to us the living bread of your peace, that we may hunger no more. Open our hearts to joyfully receive your life-sustaining love. Amen. And now we'll have Hope of the World by Marilyn.
Thank you.
We have an opportunity every week when we come here in church to set ourselves right with God. We have an all-loving, all-forgiving God. No matter what you've done this week, when you come here in repentance and real desire to rejoin with God, the opportunity to join together. So let's join together in this communal prayer of confession.
Please join me. Lord, we want the easy way out. When things go wrong, we want to find who to blame for our misfortune. When we don't get what we want to punish whoever prevents us from our goals and desires. We don't want to look at the ways in which we have perverted your love for us. We treat you as though you are a puppet who will dance to our demands. We act like spoiled children who want everything immediately and who will become sullen and spiteful if we don't ask what we ask for. We stopped listening to you. Systems of greed and injustice replaced your command to love one another. And now we come to you asking for forgiveness and healing. Our hearts and lives are empty without your love. Our spirits wither and die in this greedy wasteland. Give to us your life-sustaining bread. Heal our souls. Help us to truly worship you and to willingly work for healing and hope in this world. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Beloved siblings, hear this good news. God has heard your cries and knows your anguish. In Jesus Christ, you are loved and forgiven. Praise be to God who forgives us and who forgives us all in the name of God's beloved Son, Jesus. And the beloved community says, Amen.
Let us hear the word from John 6. 41 to 51. Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. They were saying, Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, I have come down from heaven? Jesus answered them, Do not complain about among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me. And I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. This ends the reading. Thanks be to God for it.
Thanks be to God. Here we are, week 4 or 5 with this progression of passages, all focused on Jesus feeding people's hunger, this bread of life. Last week, we talked about that hunger and how we fill that hunger by being out in the world. Remember, we talked about John Wesley. As we always talk about John Wesley. I always talk about John Wesley. I'll just share this very briefly. My temporary housemate is here with us today. Susan, you want to stand up? I'll introduce you. So Susan recently graduated from Pacific School of Religion Seminary, where I went. So she's between, you know, graduating and what's next for her. So she needed a place to stay. And, you know, speaking of abundance, the parsonage at St. John's has 4 bedrooms. I don't need 4 bedrooms. I made one an office, I have one a bedroom, one's a guest bedroom, but that leaves one more. So, you know, here's somebody in need. I have, you need, come and stay. So Susan is gonna be staying with me for a while she discerns and figures out where she's going next. And I wanted to specifically introduce you because in a few weeks, I'm taking a week vacation. I won't be here the last Sunday of August. And Susan is graciously going to cover for me. Where am I going? I'm going to Portland, Oregon, just for a week. I have a friend who's having a birthday dinner. So Susan will be, don't let her convince you that Wesley isn't the theologian for us. She's UCC, you know, so. Yeah, anyway, so, oh, right, so Wesley, right? So last week we were talking about Wesley. I couldn't remember where that came from. Last week we were talking about Wesley, and we talked about prevenient grace and justifying grace and sanctifying grace. And how each of those things, like when you're out in the world doing good for the world, that's good for your soul. It helps feed that hunger. It helps satisfy that hunger. That hunger is to know that God loves you. We desire to know that God loves us and is in full communion with us. That's what we need. That's the God-shaped hole. And you fill that by being out in the world and doing good works, and then as you do those works, your soul becomes transformed. The soul gets, the hole gets filled as you start to realize that. And as that hole gets filled and your soul becomes more God-filled and more aware of God's love, you continue to do more good works, and it just feeds each other, and that draws you closer, draws us closer and closer to God. And yet, not in yet, yet makes it sound like that's not true. In addition, we feed our souls, we feed that hunger with this bread of life through our own personal spiritual practices. I don't know what your spiritual practices are at home during the week, but it's a very good idea to set aside some time every day where you enter into God's presence, just you and God, whether it be through prayer or meditation, reading spiritual works, reading the Bible, and also joining with others in the same way. I'm kind of focused on community lately. So these ideas come from the monastic tradition. So there are two forms of monastic life. There's the eremitic and the cenobitic. Do you know those words?
No.
All right. So I get to teach you something. Lucky you. Lucky me. Right? Because it's justifying, sanctifying grace. I can share this with you, and you can expand, and I expand by sharing. So the eremitic, the root there is for one, solitary. Hermit comes from that. A hermit is somebody who spends time by themselves. So the eremitic is when, you know, people like John the Baptist, Elijah was famous for this, the desert mothers and fathers at the birth of the monastic movement would go off into the desert by themselves. Jesus would spend time off by himself, just you and God and communicating that way. However, Jesus would always come back. And Jesus was with a community of at least 12. So there's a strong influence, push towards gathering in community. So I wanted to give you a couple of, I wanted to make a couple of plugs for opportunities for spiritual disciplines that are happening right here in this church. I'm not taking credit for them. I'm just telling you they are good, and if you were not participating, you should seriously consider it. The first is our Wednesday night disciple group. We have a book. Skylar started this? Yeah. Skylar, my predecessor, who you all know, started this group during COVID, I think, because we weren't able to meet in person, but it's important to maintain a community. So he started by using this book, a prayer guide for ministers and other helpers, guide to prayer for ministers and other helpers. I'm looking over here because Adele and Nora are both members of the group. So the importance of this kind of book. So this book is broken, it's based on the lectionary. So you do some of the readings that I'm preaching from on Sundays, because I'm a lectionary boy, I follow the lectionary. And also readings during the week. So you set aside some time during in the morning. The morning's best, I think, but you do it when you have the time. You set aside some time in the morning, you sit with the book, you read the scripture passage, and then you go back, and for the week, there are a bunch of reflections from other spiritual writers. C.S. Lewis, who else do we see? Thomas Merton, right? Evelyn Underwood. Various spiritual writers who offer a reflection that kind of connects. So it gives you a little boost to guide your thinking towards what's going on here. You could do it on your own. You should do, you do it on your own each day. And you could just do that. But Skylar, brilliantly, has pushed this into the community level, right? So now you have the aromatic, and then you move into the cenobitic when you get together with this group, Nora, Adela, me, who else? Gwen.
Chris Nelson.
Charlotte. Yeah, so we have a pretty good group. And when we get together, we can share what reflections we have on what we just read. Why is that beneficial? Thank you. Because we bring our own experiences, and we're able to share those experiences, and how those experiences inform us might be different than how those experiences inform somebody else. And that's a lesson in humility, which is another good spiritual discipline to learn, right? We are all part of God, right? I don't come up here every Sunday and preach to you because I know everything, and you just do everything I say, and you'll be fine. That's not the idea. The idea is I share these ideas and allow you, give you space to think about what does this mean to me and how can I apply it? Do I want to apply it? If I don't understand or agree, why don't I understand or agree? And then you develop your own personal theology. It's important to be able to do that. And of course, it's again, we can pull Wesley into this. I'll pull Wesley into anything. So Wesley, are you all familiar with the Wesleyan quadrilateral?
A little bit.
And they talked about the Wesleyan quadrilateral?
I don't drive, so I go where I can walk.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah, nice. If I could walk here, I would too. Okay.
I really like to talk to you personally about being Wesleyan and everything.
Totally, okay. All right. Okay. So the Wesleyan quadrilateral is a way of looking at things and interpreting them through a lens that came from Wesleyan teaching. Wesley didn't sit down and write, okay, this is how we're going to do it. How it came about was a Wesleyan theologian named Albert Outler. Mark isn't here to to back me up on this, but... For those of you who weren't here last week, Mark was helping me out with names and things. So Albert Outler, Wesleyan theologian, and there are a lot of other theologians in other religious traditions who were kind of putting Wesleyan theology down because it's not systematic. It's all based on Wesley writing sermons and letters, and it's all kind of like pieced together is how they said it. It's not real. It's not a real theology because you're not sitting and doing this systematic work. What Albert Outler set out to do was sit down and find the systematic applications of Wesley's work. And that's what he did. And Outler is the one who came together with the quadrilateral. It's in Wesley's writings, but Outler pulled it all together. So the Wesleyan quadrilateral is a way of viewing the world and looking at it through a theological lens. Four-pronged, quad, four, way of looking at the world, right? Scripture is the base. Scripture, the Bible, right? So scripture is the base. And then it's kind of like a trapezoid, because there's a base and then you have the other parts. Then there's experience, and that's what we get when we join together to discuss what we've read. We are able to draw on each other's experience. Tradition, what have these other spiritual teachers over the years contemplated and thought about and shared with us, and what has our experience, even in worship, through liturgy, through the way we worship, through what we do, how does that contribute to what we think? And then reason. Reason is the one I always forget. I'm all about experience, but reason, you can apply your thoughts and ideas and your God-given intelligence to what you're observing, and that can help you in discerning. And then you share it with others, and that's feeding you. That's a spiritual meal. So, you know, there are some of us who go to church on Sundays once a week. You can't survive eating once a week, and neither can your spirit, right? Your spirit needs to be fed constantly. And the reason I think that doing this in the morning is such a good idea is because it sets you up for the day. You get up in the morning, the first thing you do is go and you spend some time with God, whether it be with this book or the Bible or some other devotional. There are lots of devotionals out there. Actually, in the United Methodist Hymnal, we don't have any hymnals, right, because of COVID. But if you look in the hymnal, if you have one at home, there's an order for morning prayer in there. I think evening prayer is in there too. The idea is that you do that every day and you have a set way to go through it. And so it becomes comfortable and once it becomes so comfortable following this order, then you can allow your mind to expand. How are you operating within this tradition to learn and come to full awareness that God loves you and then spread that love out and around you? So that's one of the things we do. The other thing that we do that I think is wonderful is on Fridays we have coffee with the pastor. Also via Zoom. Did Skylar start that too? So you were so lucky to have Skylar.
Well, we suggested it when he took it
on. Oh, okay. He was so lucky to have you guys. That has been one of my favorite things. That and the disciple thing, coming here in Petaluma, is being able to get to know you all on a little closer basis. That more, we get more from in growing closer to you and learning more about each of your stories, I get to know you better. I get to know the God within you, and you get to know the God within me, and we get drawn closer together. That happens much more during that coffee with the pastor than it does on Sunday here, because I'm talking and I give you a little opportunity to feedback, but you get so much more in that Friday morning coffee with the pastor. What we've been doing lately is sharing icebreakers, you know, icebreaker questions, like when you're in a group. Last week we talked about hobbies. Not habits. We don't want to talk about habits. We talked about hobbies that each of us had, and I learned a lot of interesting things about some of you guys, about what you're interested in, what you do, and then I had to reveal that I don't have any hobbies, and I'm looking to pick one up. Beekeeping is what I'm thinking about. So there's that spiritual feeding, right? You have this discipline of getting together with fellow Christians and you get to know them better. And, you know, we share what our hobbies are. Maybe one of you is already a beekeeper. Pastor Rob, I can help you with your beekeeping because I know a little bit about that and we can set this up. Maybe you're quilting, right? There's a quilting group. I would love to get involved, not me personally. Nothing against it, but it's not my interest. But, maybe somebody here would like to be involved in quilting, because it's more than sewing. It's engaging with those around you as you're sewing and learning from them and sharing that knowledge. And I'm sure you talk about more than just what color thread to use, right? You're talking about what's going on in your lives, and That's what this community is all about. That's what sustains you. That's what feeds you. That's the bread of life that prepares you to go out in the world and reflect back this love that God has for us. Does that make sense? Oh, yeah, Adela. Oh, yeah. I'm going to open up the floor for you then. And if you have spiritual practices that maybe you would like to share, if, you know, it's good to change them every now and then. Sometimes you can get into a rut. It becomes a little too the same. Years ago, I was living in Brooklyn, in Park Slope, where it was all brownstones. It was beautiful. And there was a lovely Episcopalian church on the block right behind my house. And they had evening prayer one day a week. So I went in, and I was looking forward to it because it was so beautiful. And there were a couple other people there. And once they started, they used the prayer book, right? And it's all prescribed. They were rattling through it so fast that I couldn't even stop to like listen and understand what we were reading. They were just rattling through. And I think that's what happens sometimes when you get into a rut, when you do the same thing. You're not allowing the practice to do its work. You're just doing it out of rote. So it's a good idea every now and then to stir up. If you're using a devotional, maybe use a different devotional every now and then to get different ideas, different thoughts. So please, did you all hear that? Adela's friend, who she's going to be going traveling with, going to be or already have? Yeah. Going to be. Has an early morning spiritual practice. And she said, Adela, if we're going to do this trip, we have to get up a little earlier or start a little later because I have to do this because if I don't do it, it affects my soul. Like she has done it enough that she feels the difference. That she feels the difference when she does it or does not do it. Yeah, that's what happens. Thank you. A witness. Testimony. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what you
that's were right.
talking about. It right. fed my soul.
Right. Yeah. So June is talking. June, right? Yeah. I'll learn your names eventually. June was participated in a yard sale, financially not so great, but the chance to reconnect with her neighbors was soul feeding, right? You got to work together for some good for the neighborhood and for yourselves. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. We come here on Sundays, you're not coming here, like I said, to hear me. You come here because this is refeeding you and giving you sustenance for the week. I'm reminding you every week that God loves you. You get that, right? Okay. That God loves you, that I love you, that we all love each other and gives us strength to go out and be God's presence in the world. That's what it's all about. I'll tell you that every week, but you probably want more from me. Pete has trained his mind. He has a daily practice of taking a walk, going for a jog, and has become intentional at looking at what is beautiful in the world. The trees, the animals, the grass, the flowers, even buildings, right? You said things too. And this morning was struck when he picked up his cup of coffee to realize, boy, that's a beautiful cup. Somebody, right? But the beautiful pattern that the spill made. Well, or you start to look for the beauty in not so beautiful, right? Yeah, that's good. Good stuff, everybody. You're on the road. We're all on the road. Let's, we might want to pause the recording, I think, because we're going to share our joys and concerns for congregational prayers. You know, because this service is recorded and then it's posted to the podcast on the website. So for your privacy's sake, we pause the recording for the personal prayers. Is that done? Yeah? Great. Thank you. So I invite you then to share what's on your hearts with this beloved community. Another good spiritual exercise. No? Thank you. The terror of the fires that are so close. And, you know, this is the season too, right? Things are dry. It's not rainy. It gets worse and worse. Diane has a son-in-law? Son-in-law who's a firefighter who can get called to fight those. Right? So prayers of gratitude for the firefighters who, you know, devote their time and, you know, more than their time to make it, keeping us safe. And prayers for, please, God, give us some rain. Let the creek rise. Right, Adela?
Yep.
Yep. God in your grace. Even snow would be good. I would settle for snow. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Nora is lifting up a prayer. Have her tell you the whole story because it's incredible. But she has been reunited with a niece who she hasn't seen or didn't even know growing up. And now that niece has relocated to Petaluma. It's an amazing story that's worth Nora telling you. I'm not going to steal your story. But yeah, so there's a joy. God in your grace. Hear our prayers. Okay. I'm going to offer you a few moments for your own prayers and concerns. Some prayers sometimes are just, I never turn around behind you. Do you have prayers or concerns to raise? No, okay. I have to get more conscious of people behind me. So I offer you a few moments for your own prayers that perhaps are too deep to share. Good and gracious God, transcendent, immanent, dwelling in the spaces between us, always working to pull us closer together, closer to you, closer to each other, helping us to see your love in the world, to be your love in the world. We've lifted up prayers of concern for others, concern for our world, your world. We've lifted up joys, sadnesses, prayers for those who are ill or disabled or unable to travel as quickly as they like. We lift these prayers out of concern for your beloved children. Help us to be your instruments in the world, that we can share our joy with them, our love for you with them, that they may always know that they are loved and cared for, even when the world seems so dark and scary. We lift up these prayers and all prayers in the name of our brother Jesus, who taught us to pray. Our mother who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory, now and forever. Amen. And so, it is the second week of August. Do you know what we do on the second Sunday of the month? We celebrate birthdays. Does anyone here have a birthday in August? You. So I introduced this song last month. This is a song that I used to sing in Sunday school when I was growing up. It's set to Joyful, 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 We Adore Thee. But it has alternate words that are, lovely for a church. So I'm sharing them with you. So let's, do you want to stand up? I don't want to force you to stand up.
Rob, before we go on.
Yes?
Sharon Civet's mother is going to be 100 this month.
100?
Uh-huh.
Oh, this is the shower of cards.
The shower birthday cards.
Tell me, you want to make the announcement?
Dorothy is going to be turning 100 on the 24th, I believe. Right, Sharon?
Yeah, 24th.
And we're talking about showering her with birthday cards. It's being that we can't have a gathering here at church for her. So all those who would love to do that, and I know you all will, send her a 100th birthday card.
And where can we get the address?
It's Sharon Civet's address.
Oh, we're sending them to you. Oh, good, good. And then you'll be able to give them all to her. So you all have Sharon, well, you have directories, or you can contact the office right up. Where'd Olivette go? Or you can contact Olivette, and she'll give you the address. 100 years old. Wow. Thank you. Happy birthday.
God has shown us the meaning of generosity and the beautiful diversity of creation. In the overflowing love of Jesus Christ and in the never-ending gift of the Holy Spirit, God has abundantly blessed us and called us to be a community that blesses others through the sharing of our love, our talents, and our material possessions. Let us rejoice now in what we have been given and in what is ours to give as we receive our morning offering.
Before we join in our prayer of dedication, I want to mention to those who may be listening to this service on a podcast, if you would like to contribute to the work of this church, you can do so electronically at our website, which is www.petalumaumc.org, or you can do it the old-fashioned way and send us a check, a good old-fashioned check, at 410 D Street, Petaluma, California, 94952. Let's join together in this prayer of dedication. May we imitate your generosity, gracious God, as we offer these gifts to you. May we model your justice as we seek to bring hope to the broken all around us. May we share the gift of your love with all who are alone and hurting and simply looking for grace in their lives. This we pray in the name of our bread, Jesus Christ. Amen. And so, beloveds, as you go out into the world this week, labor to bring forth new life. Dream dreams. Pursue visions. Speak of God's goodness in the words of those who would hear. And may the God who breathed life into creation be your delight. May Jesus Christ give hope to your dreaming. And may the Holy Spirit, your advocate and supporter, set your hearts ablaze with a passion for peace. Go and serve our God.